I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that you will anoint the preaching and teaching, sharing of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, tonight I'm going to attempt to share perhaps one last time from the book Quiet Time, the season.
Being blessed.
Hallelujah.
Effective quiet time every day. Okay. So I'm going to try to make it the last one. And we want to get into it straight away. All right. But as usual, let's read about Mary and Martha. So Luke chapter 10. By now, you should know where it is. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So whatever Mary is doing in the story is the good part. Whatever Mary is doing is the good part. And what is Mary doing? Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and Mary is spending time with the Lord. Mary is taking the opportunity. She's taking time off housework. She's taking time off doing chores. She's taking time off feeding babies. She's taking time off general cleaning. She's taking time. Ine, I see you laughing. She's taking time off, you know, doing all the things that can be done, and she's spending time with Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is commending Mary, and Jesus himself says, that is the good part. That is the good part.
That is the good part.
Right. Amen. So we are learning that, and we are trying very hard because we all understand what kind of a world we live in today.
True.
Duty calls all the time. You know, Mary represents duty. Martha represents duty, responsibility. You know, things that are your job, things that you have to do. You know, things that appear not to be able to wait. Things that are always pulling on us. We go to bed them on our side. Even these days, people don't even go to bed. People fall asleep. Do you see?
Yes.
That's the difference. Most sleeping these days is accidental. It's unintended. You know, it's just people just fall asleep. They just fall asleep, you know. But it used to be that people intentionally go to bed. That means they will arrange themselves, they will change their clothes, they will, you know, pack themselves up into bed. You know, the expression is to tuck yourself into bed, you know.
Right.
People would go into bed, you know, and even have some downtime before they fall asleep, right? But these days, not like that anymore. People are so worn out. They are so, you know, used up, and they are just so screeched, you know, that by the time they get home or by the time evening comes around, there is not much life left in them, not much spirit in them, you know. And when they sleep, they fall asleep until, I mean, just about time to get up and do it again. You know, and the cycle just continues, and you find more and more Christians unable to, you know, choose or make the merry choice, which is to choose the good part, which is spending time with the Lord. But I am trusting God that as we're learning about this, you know, more and more of us will be liberated.
Amen. You know,
amen.
That as the wisdom of doing it, you know, increases in us, more and more of us will find ourselves liberated to be able to make that choice as Mary did. Because I tell you, there was work to do, but Mary intentionally ignored it.
Mm.
She knew that the stuff, she knew that there was some chicken that had been seasoned and had not been fried yet. You know, maybe Jesus loved chicken. And they knew, well, maybe Jesus would have chosen fish, because that's when he had to cook for the disciples. He cooked fish, right?
So
some fish to be scaled and, you know, cleaned up and all that, and grilled and or baked for Jesus Christ, you know. And Mary knew that was waiting, but she still chose to spend the time with the Lord, you know.
Man.
And we must get to that place where we make that choice no matter what is waiting. Do you see? And let some things just wait. Let some things just wait.
Just and wait.
Many things that call on us strongly often can wait. They really can wait. It is
preaching.
Pressure. Sometimes Satan brings pressure. You must do it, and you must do it now, now, now. You need to do it now. You must do it now. Pressure all the time. You need to watch out for pressure. You need to watch out for pressure.
Yes.
Because often things that bring pressure have demons involved. Do you get it? And I believe that God is bringing us gradually to that place where we will be at people who spend time with the Lord like we ought to and on a regular basis. Can I have an amen, please?
Amen.
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 So tonight, I want to, last time I think I was sharing with you point number 9 from chapter 6 or so. We were sharing number 15 things that happen when people have a quiet time. This is from chapter 6 of the book, and we went all the way to number 9, which is that a daily quiet time brings inner healing. Will heal you as you have daily quiet times with him. Right now, number 10 is very interesting one, which I want to share with you tonight. And that is that a daily quiet time brings healing to the body. That is your physical body. A daily quiet time brings healing to the body. In other words, your relationship with God, cultivating a relationship with God and spending time with the Lord in prayer and studying his word, you know, has an effect on your physical body. And I believe that that is very important, especially for a season like the one we're living in right now, pandemic season, okay? So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, from verse 20, says, "My son, attend to my words." Attend to my words, right? "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Attend to my words. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Right? "Let them not depart from your eyes," or from thine eyes. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Them in the midst of thine heart." Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You identify where the sound is coming from, please. And okay, great. Please just, I want everybody to be on Zoom, but please note that every sound you can hear, we can all hear it too. Okay, so just if you have some sound in the background, just mute yourself so we can have a wonderful, undisturbed and uninterrupted time. All right. So back to the scripture, it says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes," right? "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? "For they are life unto those that find them, and health," life unto those that find them, "and health," or medicine, "to all their flesh." It is health to all their flesh. It is life to those that find them, and it is health to all their flesh. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. He says, my son, right? "Attend to my words." Pay attention to my words. And incline thine ear unto my sayings, right? To incline your ear means, you know, like literally, it means, you know, make an angle or tilt your ear. Do you see? If you're talking about an incline, you're talking about an angle, like a tilting. Right. So it says you must tilt your ear in the direction of my sayings. It means that even what is not being said to you, you must even eavesdrop on it.
Wow.
See, wow. It says you must incline your ear to my sayings and let them not depart from thine eyes. That means have them before you all the time, right? Why? And then it says, keep them in the midst of thine heart, because they are light unto those that find them. People who find the word find life. And it says,
amen,
health to all their flesh. It is health to all their flesh. Right? Now, let's read another version. Look for another version. Maybe New Living Translation. New Living Translation. And let's read that one as well real quick, please. New Living Translation. Okay. Now, this one says, "Pay attention, my child, to what I say," right? Mm. "Pay attention, my child, to what I say." Then it says, "Listen carefully," right? Listen carefully. "Don't lose sight of my words." Mm. "Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart." Let them deep within your heart. Why? You see, "For they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning." They bring life and they bring radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The scripture is saying, right? Now, let me read it from here. It says, let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body.
Wow.
Brings healing to their whole body. They bring healing to their whole body. Now, remember that prophet has been teaching us lately how that prophecies and their fulfillment is not metaphorical.
Metaphorical.
Metaphorical at all. That the fulfillment of the prophecy is real. Now, you better believe it when God says that there is a correlation between his words and your physical state of health, right? That spending time with God ultimately has an effect on your body.
Amen.
Not a spiritual body. Because it says their whole body. I don't know. It doesn't say spiritual body. That's why I said let's read another version just in case it is saying that it is health to their spiritual
metaphysical body.
Spiritual born again composition of their souls or something like that. But it's not saying anything like that. It says it is health to their bodies. Literally, it is health to your body. It is to your body. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Serious, right? Let me read. Tonight I'm just going to read a lot. So I'm going to read this whole thing to you and we close, all right? Now, it says the Hebrew word for health is marpi, which means medicine, right? So the word that is translated health in the spot where the King James says, and health to all their flesh. That word means medicine. That means the word of God is medicine. It means our times with the Lord is medicine, physical medicine to your bodies, right? It says, it may sound difficult to believe, but God's word actually brings healing to our physical bodies. The Bible says that they are life and health to the flesh. The flesh means the physical body. This is the flesh. The flesh means this one right here, right? Yeah. That comes in many different shades and many different colors, ranging from, you know, white to shades of white, coming down through yellow somewhere into brown, and then all the way into brown, then dark brown, then black, then jet black. You get it? All the way down. So just find yourself somewhere in the spectrum, but wherever you fall, all flesh is flesh.
Right.
And the Bible says that the word of God is life to your flesh. Hallelujah. All their flesh. It says it is life to all their flesh. Wow. Now, it says, the Bible says that they are life and health to the flesh. And I mean the physical body. Now, it says, I would like to quote to you a very interesting article I read in Reader's Digest, right? Now, Reader's Digest is a publication. And you can look it up online. I'm sure you can find it. It contains very interesting articles, but here's one of them. It says here, the notion that religious faith can promote physical well-being is not new. Most of us have heard of cases in which someone, seemingly by sheer faith and will, has miraculously recovered from a terminal illness or survived far longer than doctors thought impossible. What is new is that such rewards of religion are becoming the stuff of science, right? In other words, it's not strange. It's like we've all heard about people getting better and so on because they seem to have faith or whatever, you know, and so on. And people surviving longer than doctors felt was important. The person cannot live to be that old, after that diagnosis, they couldn't continue staying alive for that long, and they defied whatever the doctor said, right? Now, I said, so that's not new. But what is new is that now science is becoming or beginning to recognize that stuff. Mm. Science is beginning to acknowledge that kind of thing, right? So it says, what we cannot prove scientifically that God heals, but I believe we can prove that belief in God has a beneficial effect, declares Dale A. Matthew, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine at Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C. That's right near your neighborhood for some of you, right? He said, there is little doubt that healthy religious faith and practices can help people get better, right? Compelling evidence. Just how powerful is the evidence linking faith and health? More than 30 studies have found a connection between spiritual or religious commitment and longer life. Among the most compelling, a survey of 5,286 Californians found that church members have lower death rates than non-members. That is regardless of risk factors such as smoking, drinking, obesity, and inactivity. Wow. So those of you who are Californians, I mean, this is the reality here.
They're all here.
Right. That it has been found that church members have lower death rates than non-members. That is regardless of whether they smoke or drink or obese or inactive or all the risk factors that make people die sooner, you know, in spite of all of that. People who go to church. So listen, if you're going to smoke and so on, at least add going to church.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. Right.
Let me just neutralize the curse. There, do you see? Now, those with a religious commitment had fewer symptoms or had better health outcomes in 7 out of 8 cancer studies. That's 7 out of 8. That's a very high percentage, right? 7 out of 8 is what? Something like 90%+. Pastor Monena, you know such things. I mean, what is 7 out of 8? What percentage is that, right? Yeah, that's a very high percentage. 87.5%.
87.5%.
Yeah. So it says that now, it says those. And then 4 out of 5 blood pressure studies, and then 4 out of 6 heart disease studies, and then 4 out of 5 general health studies. These are people with religious commitment had fewer symptoms or had better health outcomes in 7 out of 8 cancer studies, 4 out of 5 blood pressure studies, 4 out of 6 heart disease studies, and 4 out of 5 general health studies. Now, people with a strong religious commitment seem to be less prone to depression, suicide, alcoholism, and other addictions, according to one research analysis. That people with strong religious commitment, you know, those who are really into it, usually they don't have these problems, you know. They don't have problems with alcohol. They don't have problems with depression. They don't have suicidal tendencies. Before, right? Now, one of the most extensive reviews demonstrates that the connections between religion and health cut across age, sex, cultural, and geographic boundaries. That means it works everywhere. It includes more than 200 studies in which religion was found to be a factor in the incidence of a disease, explains Jeffrey S. Levin, a former professor at Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, right? Levin found an association between good health and religion in studies of children and older adults of U.S. Protestants, European Catholics, Japanese Buddhists, and Israeli Jews, of people living in the 1930s and 1980s, of patients suffering from acute and chronic diseases. So you can see that the sample space is very broad. It's like people cross gender, cut across generations, cut across even the different streams of that we have, you know, and the results would seem to be the same. Now, how prayer heals. Why does faith appear to have such a powerful protective effect? Experts offer several possible explanations. They said going to religious services guarantees contact with people. Social support is a well-documented key to health and longevity, right? Social support is a well-documented key to health and longevity. Faith gives a sense of hope and control that counteracts stress. Commitment to a system of beliefs enables people to better handle traumatic illness, suffering, and loss, says Harold Koenig, MD, director of the Center for the Study of Religion, Spirituality, and Health at Duke University Medical Center. Duke University is down in North Carolina, right? Now, praying evokes beneficial changes in the body. When people pray, they experience the same decreases in blood pressure. Listen to that. It says, when people pray, they experience the same decreases in blood pressure, metabolism, heart and breathing rates as the famous relaxation response described by Herbert Benson, MD of the Harvard Medical School. Reciting the rosary, for example, involves the same steps as the relaxation response, that is, repeating a word, prayer, phrase, or sound, and returning to the repetition when other thoughts intrude. While the relaxation response works regardless of the words used, Benson says those who choose a religious phrase are more likely to benefit if they believe in God, right? So what I just read right here, this last paragraph I just read, means that praying in tongues is really powerful. It just goes to support, you know. Bible says, when people pray in tongues, it says their body is edified or they are built up. Yes, because he's saying that when people are praying, it doesn't even matter if they are just repeating a word or phrase.
Yeah.
Or sound. They're just repeating a sound. Shabakataya bakataya 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 bakataya, like that. And people look at us and they think we are crazy. But now science is saying that's what brings the healing.
That's it.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's in your neighborhood, you know. They're just down the road from you. You see? Yeah. It says, can others' prayers heal? Researchers are investigating whether the prayers of others can heal. Benson and his colleagues studying coronary bypass patients and Matthews studying people with rheumatoid arthritis are trying to confirm findings of an oft-quoted 1988 study by cardiologist Randolph Bird, MD. Dr. Burt divided 393 heart patients in San Francisco General Hospital Medical Center into two groups. One was prayed for by Christians around the country. The other did not receive prayers from study participants.
For the study.
Patients did not know to which group they belonged. The group that was prayed for experienced fewer complications, fewer cases of pneumonia, fewer cardiac arrests, less congestive heart failure, and needed fewer antibiotics.
Wow.
The group that was prayed for.
What a group.
Yeah. It's I pity those who are not prayed for. It must be why the Bible says in the book of James, it says, if anyone is sick, let them call elders of the church, not to even take him to the hospital, but rather, he said, they call for the elders of the church. The sick person must believe enough in prayers to call for the elders of the church to come down and pray for him or her, laying hands on the person and anointing them with oil. And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save that sick person.
What's the key?
This is right there in San Francisco. I mean, you can ask Bishop Henry to show you the place, and Bishop Henry can go check it out for you. It says, even more confounding and controversial. Yes, even more confounding are controversial studies suggesting prayer can influence everything from the growth of bacteria in a lab to healing wounds in mice.
Wow.
Right? Yes. Do you see that prayer can affect everything? You see, and of course it will be controversial because it will be shocking. Because you are in the lab doing some experiments with bacteria and then you pray for them and they start to multiply or they start to decrease. I think you
have everything by prayer.
You see, it says these studies on lower organisms can be done with great scientific precision, and the findings can't be explained away by, say, the placebo effect, says Larry Dorsey, MD, author of Prayer is Good Medicine, right? Now, doctors as believers. Dr. Dorsey became so convinced of the power of prayer that he began to pray privately for his patients. Nevertheless, he and other experts tread cautiously in this area. We certainly don't want to start selling religion in the name of science, he says. People need to make their own choices. And yet, healthcare institutions are beginning to pay attention to the faith-health connection. Conferences on spirituality and health have been sponsored by Harvard Medical School and the Mayo Clinic. Nearly half of U.S. medical schools now offer courses on the topic. In a survey of 269 doctors at the 1996 meeting of the American Academy of Family Physicians, 99% said they thought religious beliefs could contribute to healing. When asked about their personal experiences, 63% of doctors said God intervened to improve their own medical conditions, right? So 99% of the doctors at the conference believe that it is possible, you know, it can happen. Then 63% of the doctors said they themselves can testify to an intervention by God, you know, to improve their own medical conditions, because doctors are not exempt from medical conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. You get it, right?
So true.
It says clearly, their patients agree that prayer is a powerful tool in healing, right? Polls by Time, CNN, and USA Weekend show that about 80% of Americans believe spiritual faith or prayer can help people recover from illness or injury.
Amen.
Yes. And more than 60% think doctors should talk to patients about faith and even pray with those who request it. This yearning for a connection between religion and medicine is partly a reaction to a healthcare system that has become increasingly rushed and impersonal. Do you see? Yes, the healthcare system is now changed, or is changing. Do you see? And it says, in medicine, the pendulum had swung so far toward the physical that it almost totally excluded anything spiritual. Dr. Dulcie says, this didn't feel right to patients or many physicians, and the pendulum has begun to swing back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Has begun to swing back. That means things are beginning to turn towards prayer and religion and its impact and influence on health care. Again, that means more and more doctors are beginning to pray. And I believe in looking around, you must have come across some of those photographs and videos where we see doctors and nurses praying as in the wake of this COVID crisis. We've seen more doctors praying, more doctors organizing prayer meeting at the workplace, because, you know, it doesn't take a long time for a human being to believe that indeed our help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. That if God does not help us, if God does not save us, if God does not deliver us, that there really isn't any hope. Do you see? We are all sitting back and watching the world fumble. We're watching governments, presidents, politicians fumble because nobody seems to know what to do. Do you see? Wonderful thing that is happening, and it gives religion an opportunity to make its case, right? Yes. And so you as a pastor, you as a Christian, remember, part of the Great Commission is bringing healing. Every time Jesus sends people out to preach, one of the things they were supposed to do was to heal. They should heal. They should heal. Yes, last time we were reading a verse where Jesus was saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he has been anointed to preach the gospel. And then next thing is that to heal the brokenhearted. Preaching of the gospel goes hand in hand with healing. In Luke chapter 10, when he sent 70 people out, he told them the instruction they should go preach. But one of the things says, in every city that you enter, you must heal the sick that are there. So you notice that healing is part of the Great Commission, right?
Yeah.
And heal the sick that are therein and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So you're supposed to be preaching that the kingdom of God has come near, and you must heal the sick that are therein, because there is indeed a connection, you know, between religion and the healing of people. Do you see? Yes. Then, of course, in the famous Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where it says, go into all the world and preach, then one of the things it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, right? They shall speak with new tongues, you know? And then the next one is that they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, all the people in verse 17, all the people in verse 15, those who are obeying that, you see, all the people who are obeying that are supposed to be experiencing this also. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Then the next one, verse 16, says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Right? Then verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do we have any them that believed in the service tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wave your hand if you're of them that believe. Wave your hand if you're
you must believe
to be in the service tonight. You must believe to be. This is not a concert, or this is not some, I don't know what else this could be, but it's not anything but preaching. You believe, right?
We believe.
Follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, right? They shall speak with new tongues. If they eat any deadly thing, it shall not harm them, right? That's why you must begin to bless your food. Do you understand? Just like demons don't just come out because you walk past them. Do you get it? That also means deadly things will not just be disabled just because you just see the food. You must pray over your food. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, try to pray over your food, you know. Yes, tell yourself.
Learning something.
Just tell yourself right now, I'll pray over my food. Starting.
I'll pray over my food. Help me, Jesus.
There are some of us who are so gifted that, you know, there's no time for prayer. You know, when right? Yeah, it's like the anointing to eat is so strong that, you know.
Mercy, Lord.
Thanks for it. You see, and pray. And pray that any deadly thing in it will not hurt you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? Now, and then at the bottom line, it says that they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So healing is a real thing. It's not just some supernatural something that's just, I mean, some special spiritual, super spiritual people do. But it just can't notice the signs shall not follow pastors. The signs are supposed to follow those that believe.
Preach, Apostle.
Yes. The signs.
That's preaching.
The signs are for people who believe.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means you, and that means me. You understand? Yes.
Yes.
The signs are following our fruit, the people who hear us. How much more us? Yes, those who hear us, they're the ones who are supposed to have these signs. Then we who spoke the word, the signs will also follow us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believers in prayer. We must be believers in prayer. We must believe in prayer. When you don't feel well, pray. First. Pray. Believe it.
Amen.
Yes, believe it. And then when we are part of prayer services, like the flow service, and our prophet is praying and making declarations and praying for our bodies and praying for our body parts and praying for our health. You know, you better believe it, because it's not just some spiritual or Christian or pastoral rhetoric that is just going on, but it is a real thing. Now we're reading it here that science says, look, we may not be able to explain it fully, but it looks like there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as it's being published, it means that, look, the thing cannot be discounted. It is there.
It's there.
We may not be able to explain it all, but it is right there.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Then it goes on to say that how faith fits in. It says, so what does this mean for the average person? It does not mean adding worship to the list of healthy things you can do. You can't adopt faith as you would a low-fat diet. What you can do is to speak up if you are facing illness or surgery and would like your belief to be a part of your health care. Wow. That doesn't mean you should expect your doctor to pray with or for you. But it is reasonable to expect him to listen to your needs. Arrange a visit from the hospital chaplain or allow time for prayer before you are wheeled into the operating room.
That's right.
Amen.
Koenig Maintains offers people some control over their lives as opposed to just depending on a medical profession that is becoming more distant and mechanized every day. Wow. Mm. Do you see? So this is the doctor. The doctor is saying, or the professor is saying that, you know, when people have faith, it gives them some control over their situation.
Right.
It gives them some control over their situation as opposed to just depending on a medical profession that is becoming more distant and mechanized every day. That means that we may have more control and more influence over our sickness by our prayer and by our faith. Our beliefs will give us more control over the outcome of the condition than merely relying on medical science, throwing everything into the hands of a medical profession that is becoming more and more distant and mechanized every day. I mean, doctors these days are afraid everybody is covering themselves all the time.
That's right.
Yes, because of the increase in lawsuits and so much liability issues and so much that goes on. I mean, everybody is just doing as little as they need to do to pass. Do you see? just do what he's supposed to do and get away from this whole complex situation before you come and sue me. You know, one time one was sharing with me how he was looking after a patient. And he was saying the patient was, you know, belonged to the same race as the doctor. And the patient was telling him that he called him to his bedside and said to him that, you know, you and I are the same race, so I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to sue you. You see that guy over there? You see that guy over there? As soon as I get out of this bed, I'm going to sue him.
What a shock.
Warning.
Do this patient, you don't even know what the outcome is going to be.
I tell you.
Oh, goodness.
But your suing plans are already in place. You know, that as soon as you get out of this situation, you're going to sue the doctor who is trying to help you.
What a shock.
You have patients like this. Every doctor is forced just to be careful and to just keep his care within the limits of what his profession will allow.
Yeah.
He wants to go overboard to do something that, you know, tomorrow you come and say something else. No, you just do what they have to do, you know. And but we are blessed to have all these physicians who have the love of God in their hearts, you know. We call them our beloved physicians, like Luke, the beloved.
Wow.
Blessed to have a church with so many doctors and all these people who, beyond what their medical profession teaches them, there's also the love of God in their hearts. Do you understand? Love of God in their hearts, and they can.
Wow.
Right. But I think the lesson is very clear tonight, that God is showing us that having a relationship with Him pays off, and it doesn't affect your physical body, that it does affect you. There are rewards to be blessed and to be received from having a real relationship with God. It says His words are life to your flesh. 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 His words are to my saints.
Mm.
To my saints.
Mm.
You get it? Going on days and days and days with ignoring my sayings is not helping you.
Yes.
Rich Apostle. It's
dangerous for you. Going for many days and many days, having time for Facebook, having time for Instagram and Twitter, and you're on every page and every piece of news you're tracking and following, and you're not paying attention to my words. He said, that's not good for you. It's not good for you. And it's interesting how they mentioned that it has an effect even on blood pressure, which is one of the commonest things that people suffer from. Do you see? And it says that it has an effect. It has an effect on metabolism. Wow. That means weight loss is coming in somewhere.
Yeah.
I receive it.
The science is saying that prayer and being religious and having faith seems to affect metabolism. Wow. And it's possible. Even praying, like when you spend the 6 to 8 hours praying, let's say even at the flow prayer meeting. The other day we heard prophets saying that one of the pastors had checked on his watch and he had walked, I think, something like 20 plus kilometers or something like that. Just being in prayer, you know, just being in prayer. I mean, sometimes in my own house here, I can actually walk around my living room and just walk, and I have 4.5 miles.
Wow.
Time the prayer is over. I'm just praying and just binding the devil for 4.5 miles. I mean, that's some serious. You get it? Yeah.
Wow.
Every place, through the kitchen, through the living room, everywhere, just casting him out.
4.5 miles.
You see, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of putting all sorts of deadly things in your body, maybe you should get serious with prayer.
Yes.
Man.
What a key.
Yes. Get serious with prayer, because if the science is right, then you'll be surprised that you could lose weight just praying.
Mm. Wow.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I receive it for them.
Amen.
You could burn through food and fat faster, you know, by praying instead of swallowing some dangerous pill that's supposed to work magic. Are you understanding the word of God?
Showing
us that developing that relationship, developing that quiet time, developing and spending that time with the Lord will affect you physically. It will. It's not only going to affect you spiritually, it will affect your body physically. Even mice and bacteria respond to prayer.
I tell you.
Mice and bacteria respond to prayer. You know, and if mice and bacteria are responding to prayer, do you see, then you can imagine. You see, and the doctors, the scientists were saying that you can't blame it on the placebo effect. You know, placebo effect. A placebo is when they give someone something to take which has no medical or medicine in it or pharmacological effect on his body. Do you see? But they want him to think that, or he needs to think that he has been given medicine. You get it? Because there are some people who are lovers of medicine. Unless you give them something to swallow, they will not be happy. They give such, he says, you can't give that to a mouse and make the mouse feel that way. No, the mouse doesn't have that intelligence to say that because I've swallowed something, I'm feeling better. So if the mouse is feeling better, then it's a real thing.
That's right. Real.
But all we did was to pray for them. And as we pray for them, we began to see them improving.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, if mice, even bacteria, can respond to prayer, then your body will respond. Right. So let's look at the relationship with God seriously, and God will bless us, and we will know him more, we'll get deeper in him, and it will be health to all our flesh. It will be health to all our flesh. It will be to all our flesh. It will be to your heart. It will be health to your blood pressure. It will be health to your migraine. It will be health to your back pain. It will be health to your knee pain.
Amen.
To every condition that you have, it will be health because the scripture says so. The scripture says so. Put the scripture up and let's read it one more time before we close. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He said, my son, my son, my son, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Right? Verse 21. Right? Let them not depart from thine eyes.
Man.
Let them not depart from thine eyes. You haven't seen my words. You haven't seen my sayings in a week. You haven't seen my words apart from seeing them on the screen in church. You don't see my words until the next service.
Mercy.
You don't see my words. He said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That means meditate on them. That means dwell on them. That means focus on them. Let them be part of you. Why? Verse 22. He says, for what? Verse 22. He says, for they are life. They are life to those that find them. They are life to those that find them. They are life to those that find them. Life means life. It means life. It gives life. It gives vitality. It gives survival. It gives strength. It gives longevity. They are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. They are health to all their flesh. Every part of their flesh will benefit from the word. Every part of their flesh will benefit from the word. Amen. Tonight, I want you to, you know, begin in faith to believe that every encounter with the word of God, every encounter with the scriptures, every encounter with God in your quiet times, in the times that you spend with him, is an encounter that can impact your physical body, is an encounter that can help you. And if you believe it, you will experience it. If you believe it, you will experience it. If you believe it, you will experience it. Believe it, and you will experience it. Don't only believe it because the science says so. Believe it because the word says so. God wants you to believe the word, not the scientists. There is more reward believing God than believing the scientists, even though what the scientists are saying supports what God said a long time ago. The Bible says God is a rewarder. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who are serious with their relationship with God, God will reward them. Right?
Amen.
Science is saying, it's just supporting a truth that has existed since the beginning of creation. They're just finding out. They're just finding out what has always been true and what God said a long time ago. That people who find it, it's health to all their body. It's health. Just lift up your hand tonight and commit yourself to the and begin to pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me, because I am beginning to see that this relationship with you goes beyond just going to heaven. But right here on earth, I can expect healing.
Jesus.
I can expect healing for my heart, my physical heart. I can expect healing for my blood pressure.
Yes.
I can expect healing for diabetic. I can expect healing for my arthritis, for my migraines, for my joint pains, my knee pains, for my kidney issues, for my gynecological issues. I can expect healing.
Yes, Lord.
Word says so. If I find your words, if I attend to your words, it will be help for all my flesh. All my flesh. Every part of me will benefit from this relationship. Lord, I want to subscribe to that tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm subscribing to that tonight. I'm subscribing to the healing powers of the word. I'm subscribing to the healing powers, the healing of the word. I'm subscribing to it tonight. In the name of
Jesus.
Lord, I believe.
Jesus.
The coronavirus in the name of Jesus. I'm so kidding. Just before we close tonight, I want us to trust God for healing of our bodies, of our bodies. If you're sick in any part of your body, I want you to lay your hand on that part of your body where the sickness is. If you can't touch it, just place your hand on your chest or on your head, and let's all begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray against that chronic pain and joint pain in the name of Jesus. We speak to God. We speak to low blood pressure. We speak to diabetic in the name of Jesus. We speak to diabetics. We speak to conditions of the body that cannot be named in the name of Jesus. Conditions that are beginning to develop. Yield your power and yield your strength to the word of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I am the Lord that love thee. I am the Lord your healer. I send my word and I I Come on, sing everybody. You are the Lord. You are the Lord that He left me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Sing it again, right there in your home. Sing it again and sing the song. And acknowledge the Lord as your healer. Acknowledge His word as your healer. Acknowledge the power in the word. Acknowledge the power in the word. The power that comes to a believer just because he believes. Just because he believes. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't matter if the one whose hands are being laid is also the one who is sick. The word will work so long as the sick person encounters the hand of a believer. And the two can be the same person in the name of Jesus. Trust the Lord tonight for a miracle. Trust Him for your healing. And trust Him for your deliverance from this chronic illness in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the Lord. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord, my. The mighty healer, He cleansed the lepers. When the people saw Him, they started walking. Everywhere He went, my Lord was doing good. Everywhere He went, my healer, He cleansed the lepers, and when the people saw Him, they started walking. Everywhere He went, my Lord was doing good. Sing it one more time, everywhere He went, oh, Father, we thank You for tonight and thank You for Your word. Thank You for the healing for all our flesh. That no matter the condition, no matter where it resides, and no matter where it's hiding, no matter what symptoms are yet to be exposed, the Bible says all things are naked and explained and exposed before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There is no sickness. There is no disease that can hide from your sight. Maybe the doctors are yet to see it. Maybe the doctors have seen it, but they don't know what it is. Maybe the doctors are confused by the symptoms. Maybe we don't even know what it means. But you know exactly what it means. Because your word is able to pierce through. Your word is so strong. The Bible says it is quick and it is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is able to pierce and go down, even to be able to split soul and spirit. Hey, the word is powerful. And tonight we send forth that word, not only into our hearts, but Lord, into all our flesh, into our heads, into our necks, into our eyes, into our ears. We send the word. We send the word into our mouths. We send the word down our throats. We send the word, Lord, into our chests, into our abdomen. Lord, we send the word, Lord, to every part of our bodies in the name of Jesus. To our joints, to our backs, Lord, to our bones, to our marrow, Lord, under our feet. We send the word, Lord. We send the word that the word will heal, Lord, right from the crown of our heads. We send the word all the way down to the soles of our feet. We send forth your word. We send forth your word to deal with every problem, with even our hair. Because the Bible says you care about our hair. You care enough about our hair to number them, Lord. I pray for sisters whose hair is breaking, Lord. People who are having issues with their hair, Lord. We send forth the word to heal the condition, Lord. To heal the condition. Scalp issues, Lord. We send forth the word to heal them in the name of Jesus. Eye conditions that we have come to accept, that we have become used to, Lord. Tonight, we receive healing for them in the name of Jesus. Because we understand that the healing is for all our flesh. Is for every member of our flesh, is for every member of our bodies, Lord. So why not we hold out our faith and we trust you that you will do a complete work to make us whole. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And now before we close, I want to give you an opportunity. If you know in your heart that you are not saved, you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, tonight is an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So I want to pray for you tonight, and I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to join me and everybody else, join us as we say this prayer together. You can come off mute and let's pray together. Say with me, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe there's salvation in your name only.
I believe there's salvation in your name only.
Tonight, I come to you for salvation.
Tonight, I come to you for salvation.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I confess my sin.
I confess my sins.
All my sins, Lord, tonight.
Confess all my sins tonight.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Say it again. Say, forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me, Lord.
Let your blood cleanse me, Lord.
a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
From tonight.
From tonight.
I choose you as my Lord and Savior.
I choose you as my Lord and Savior.
I will serve you with my life.
I will serve you with my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
My prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Put your hands for the Lord right there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. And incline your ears to them because they are
light
and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. The word of God will penetrate every part of your body and bring life, and bring health into your body in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.